Welcome to the Hot Level Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Hey, Ryan, I just saw my hair. Well, I'm going to get a haircut. All right. Yeah, if you're watching this live, this is pretty startling.
Yeah, today's not a good day for me or you in the hair department, I don't think.
Well,
I expect more out of you.
Yeah, here's the difference. My hair usually looks good, Ryan, and I don't wear a hat.
Always.
Like
always.
You. Padres are playing the White Sox, which, you know, if this is May, just like, yeah, all right, playing the White Sox. This could be an historic series. Also, the Padres could clinch. Now, probably not going to happen. We'll go over why that is. But they could clinch in their final home game of the season on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Here we are on Friday. Got three games ahead of the White Sox. Day off, three games against the Dodgers, then three games against the Diamondbacks. Those last six are on the road. Ryan, where do you want to start?
This is the last easy series, maybe, of 2024. Mm-hmm. Right? Following the White Sox, the Padres go to L.A. and then to Phoenix. Then it's the playoff. To me, I think it's a time to talk a little bit about the White Sox and their path to sort of infamy here very briefly. And then I think to focus on not only what this weekend's going to look like, but how it might set up the following week, which, again, will be the biggest week of the Padres season. Six games against two division rivals, one of whom is going to win the division, and the other you're fighting for the number one playoff spot. So, or number one wildcard spot. Let's talk about the White Sox real quick. Atrocious. There was a time when this franchise and the Padres were mentioned in the same breath in terms of they both had young international signees, right? They were both thought to be sort of the team of the 2020s, assuming everybody stepped up. And as recently as last year, the White Sox were still signing veterans and thinking that they could make a push. And just the bottom has fallen out this year. What's wrong with the Chicago White Sox?
Well, they gave the Padres Dylan Cease, and they gave the Padres Fernando Tatis Jr., though they did make the playoffs after giving away Fernando Tatis Jr. For that guy, James Shields.
Right.
What's wrong with them? They're terrible, man. Like, you know, neither you nor I would have said easy series, as you referred to this, early in the season or almost any other opponent, really. I mean, yes, it reached a point this season where you said, hey, the Padres, if they are, you know, going where they think they are, they should really take care of the Marlins. They should really take care of the Pirates, should really take care of the Nationals. And they did. But you would never be like, this should be a sweep or this is an easy series. And every single one, I have great respect for these guys. And I'm not saying I don't have respect for the guys on the White Sox. All right. But the reality is 117 losses. They are three losses away from tying the 1962 Mets for the most losses in a season. If you could ever in our lifetime say that a team was terrible or not give them the due of, hey, that's a major league team over there. Like even with Garrett Crochet going tonight for the White Sox, right? He hasn't thrown more than 57 pitches in his last, or maybe it's 67. I think it's 57 pitches in his last five starts. Hasn't gone more than four innings in 10 starts. Remember, this is a guy who was hot on the trade market, hot, you know, Cy Young talk, but he's never been a full-time starter till this year. So now the White Sox are limiting his innings. He starts tonight. You would normally, man, Garrett Crochet, he can really shove tonight. Well, but for how long? Like, this is a terrible team.
Terrible team. They rank last in the major leagues in runs scored, on base percentage, slugging percentage, and they're 29th in average. I want to know who's 30th in average and ERA. If the White Sox are better than you. That said, this is where I couch it.
Okay.
They're playing better. They really are. They have a 694 OPS over their last six games, according to our Jeff Sanders. Andrew Benintendi, remember him? Is a guy who's caught fire lately. They've played well enough in Anaheim before this series. They're still historically bad, don't get me wrong, but I guess they're on a little bit of a heater coming in here.
Sure, and this is where you go, hey, those are major league players, right? Yeah. Like I have not. It would have been a waste of all of our time for me to just go through the White Sox roster. Could they have some prospects that are pitching that are really good and they have really good nights and whatever? Could Benintendi be like the Jake Berger of the Marlins, right? Like, here's what happens when a team like the Padres, it's what happens every series, but especially when you're playing a team like this, it is stressed to say the Padres pitchers, this is the guy who can hurt you. This is where in the zone he can hurt you. These are the situations. These are the pitches. These are the guys or guy in this lineup, because every lineup has one, right? Mm-hmm. So Are the Padres focused enough? All these things that are human, right? Like human, you roll your eyes or like, what? How could they not be focused? Blah, blah, all these. Yes, absolutely. Valid questions. You're human and you're like, oh, this is the number eight hitter for the White Sox. And boom, balls in the left field seats or something. But Ryan, ever, we're going to say you got to sweep a team given the opponent and the circumstances. This is it.
That's what to me is so amazing about baseball. And we talk, Kevin, all the time about how difficult it is to win consistently and how the difference between the great teams and the mediocre teams is the ability to get on runs. It's amazing this time of year, good teams win almost all the time, unless they are playing another good team, right?
Right, right.
I mean, and the team with more to play for, just amazing.
That's very, very true. Yesterday, an example of it, Padres are off. The other three teams win. When I say the other three teams, the Diamondbacks and the Mets, who are two games back of the Padres, and the Braves, who are out of the playoff picture, but they're the next team that's battling. So there's three teams battling for the – or four teams battling for the three spots. The Braves are four games back of the Padres. They all won. They won decisively, you know. That they're just as geeked as the Padres. So yes. And against this is it. You started out by saying this is the last easy series. Maybe it's a good time to transition. The Padres can clinch on Sunday. Probably won't. And here's why. They need to go 3-0 against the White Sox and have the Braves lose 2 of 3 to the Marlins, who, by the way, we'd be talking about as the worst team in the league, if not for the White Sox. So that doesn't seem likely. Could happen. But there you go. Or they need to go 2-1 and have the Braves be swept. A combination of three Padres victories, a combination of five Padres victories and or Braves losses. Those add up to five Padres in the playoffs. They could be doing the whole champagne thing on Sunday, but probably not. But what you can do is get your magic number down to 2.
Right.
Where all you need to do for worst case scenario to make the playoffs, all you need to do, I'm calling that worst case scenario because I don't even want to ponder what happens if they blow this thing. But is you get yourself to within 2 victories or 2 Braves losses, or 1 victory and 1 Braves loss. Like, you're that close. That's what you can do this weekend.
Here's what's crazy too. You know, there's a possibility, and again, lots would have to happen. There's a possibility the Padres could be the third wildcard team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And go to Milwaukee to play the division champion Milwaukee Brewers with a better record than the Brewers have.
Yeah.
Right. The third wildcard team could end up with a better record than the National League Central Division champions. It would take some finagling here, right? Brewers have 88 wins, Padres have 87, but it could happen.
Given how they have matched up against the Brewers, all right, right, what you just said about the record and the fact that the winner of that series then plays the number 2 seed, which is probably going to be the Dodgers, you would say that might be the easier path to the NLCS.
I think what you want if you're the Padres, number 1 is to host, right? Yes. Got to host 3 games at Petco Park, an opportunity to play in front of the crowd.
Yes.
Against whoever you're facing, right? That's the preference. I bet you they'd rather go to Milwaukee than go to Phoenix.
Or go to New York.
Oh my gosh. I don't think anybody wants to go to New York. Those guys are scary.
Yeah. So you know? You're absolutely correct. Here's the thing. We can talk about that. The Padres are focused, as you said, on getting the home series for the wild card. They'll tell you the division series, or I'm sorry, to win the division. And sure, they have 3 games against the Dodgers. Sure, they could do it. The Dodgers, you know, also have a pretty easy schedule around the Padres going. So I don't think that's happening. They're going for the win. And there's really no way to say what is going to be happening next week. There just isn't. Like, everything is going to be up for grabs, including technically the division is going to be up for grabs next week probably. So that means all the scenarios that you just laid out is going to be up for grabs.
Right. And we'll talk Monday ahead of the Dodgers series about just how vulnerable these Dodgers are. They have arguably the best season ever by anybody in Shohei Ohtani. And then everybody else is hurt, making them very vulnerable here heading into the series. Kevin, you had a point in your story today that bears repeating, just to give you an idea of how bad the White Sox. Okay. We watched a lot of bad baseball in San Diego growing up, you and I, didn't we?
We did.
The White Sox, with 10 games left in the regular season, have already lost three games more than the worst Padre team in the history of the Padres, which is the 1969.
Three more or seven more? I thought that 1969 team lost 110. I could be wrong.
Yes, they lost 110. Don't the White Sox have 113 losses?
117.
You're transposing
your math. Your math is 7 + 3, not 3 + 7.
This is I went to a state school where I majored in journalism.
Kevin. Don't do math live. Don't do math live.
Don't do math live.
That's my lesson.
They are, and there are still 10 games left in the 2024 season.
Yeah.
Historically bad. From a franchise that,
especially now, look at what the Tigers are doing. Like, look at all the teams that are still in contention and that a month ago were still in contention. And right. It was over a month ago, the White Sox were eliminated, like officially eliminated on August 18th. Mm-hmm. That should not happen now. In 1962, by the way, the Mets were just starting, mm-hmm. and two teams went to the playoffs. Like, mm-hmm. like, like you were out of it by July, mm-hmm. you know, not a problem to even conceive of that. Mm-hmm. That should never be the case now, given the six playoff spots in each league. We can get angry about it. We can be disgusted by it. You see what whatever the heck it's called now, guaranteed rate park looks like. Park. Mm-hmm. It's sad.
Yeah.
Like, these major league players don't deserve it, right? Like, the major league players that are there, they also have a lot of AAA players there. But they don't deserve that.
No, this is a real franchise. I mean, that's the thing,
the World Series.
Right. This isn't Tampa, you know? This isn't who – fill in the blank. Right. The Milwaukee, Montreal Expos, when everybody knew that the Expos were moving. This is a franchise with a history and a World Series title more recently than you and I care to admit. Right. They're real. They play in a real city with real fans. And I don't think that they quit. That's, to me, what makes this so crazy. You can look at some of those, like, Tampa Bay Devil Rays teams or Miami Marlins teams, where they just dismantle and you're playing for draft picks. The Astros. Right. Back when the Astros were doing that. I'm not even sure they're tanking as much as they're just really bad.
I think you're correct. And then I think they tanked, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Like you give away, not give away. You made the choice to try to get better with some potential good players down the future by sending Dylan Cease to the Padres.
Right.
You surrendered your season for the most part. Mm-hmm. But before that, yeah, there weren't signs that they were tanking. They were still like in the AL Central, where you would think, you know,
500 gets you close. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So I think you're correct about that.
Right. Well, all right. Enough White Sox talk.
There, because all they should be is a speed bump.
Right. They should be. And here's the thing, as I think most longtime Padres followers would be a little nervous with a series like this. The reality is that the Padres have done a much better job this year than at any point in recent history of beating bad teams, especially since what was the cutoff point, Kevin, about June?
It was the June 2nd to 5th, I believe, in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They were swept. All one-run games, if I'm not mistaken. Might have been a two-runner in there, but all incredibly close. And it because of that, I'm not saying that, oh, like the Padres almost won. I'm saying no. The Angels sucked, and it wasn't like when the Rockies came in here hot, which you still shouldn't have been swept by them, but you're like, hey, major league team, real talent, division rivals, all that. Okay, fine. You went to Anaheim. You got swept by a bad team, bad pitchers, the whole deal, and it was close, and you go, we just have to be better than this.
Right.
And I believe that they even look back at this, that series, as like a big point in the season where – every at-bat matters. All this stuff that they had sort of been doing, winning on the margins, all that stuff, it matters. And since then, they have crushed, for the most part, bad teams. And for the most part, since about 10, 11 days after that, been much better. In fact, pick a date, the best record in Major League Baseball, most dates. You could go back June 19th, June 20th, June 27th, July 20th. You could go back, the Padres would be at the top of the standings there.
Yeah, they were 12-17 to start the season against teams with losing records. Since then, they are 30-9 against teams that currently have losing records. Jurickson Profar said, yeah, it was like a switch for us. You know, that that, and again, when we talk about why this team is better than last year's team and why this team has a possibility to really go far, it's because they've taken care of business when they had to. And some of that's beating bad teams. Some of that's beating good teams. Kevin, they just took 2 of 3 against a Houston Astros team. Manny Machado afterwards is essentially like, well, we'll see them in the World Series.
Yeah, yeah.
The Astros are very good. And the Padres were, I would argue, pretty close to maybe sweeping them. That to me is a good sign too. You know,
absolutely. They have a winning record against good teams. Though, you know, that one of my favorite stats is that no playoff team except one in the history of baseball has had a losing record against losing teams. So that's one of my favorite stats. You are correct. Them taking care of business. Not, you usually say that when you're facing a bad team. That's what that means. Taking care of business. That's the number one thing. But here's the thing, really, and this is where Mike Schilt would give me a gold star. It's what you just pointed out, that they beat the Astros. Along this run here, going to Baltimore and winning the series, going to Cleveland winning the series, taking 2 games against the Dodgers, just, you know, beating whoever's in front of them for the most part, right? Mm-hmm. They have lost 2 series. Now, this is going to go against what I've said, but I discount anything that happens at Coors Field. And the Giants aren't terrible. But do you know the only 2 series they've lost since the All-Star break were to bad teams? They split 3 others, those were to winning teams. But nonetheless, my point being, the consistency of this team, regardless of who they're playing, has been remarkable.
Right. This is a fantastic analysis by you and I, Kevin. We're saying that if you beat the bad teams, but then also beat the good teams, your season usually turns out pretty well. But they are. You've been saying since February that this team will only go as far as their superstars will take. I will make the argument to you, Kevin, now on September 20th, maybe for the first time in, maybe not for the first time, but their superstars are carrying them. Manny Machado is Manny Machado.
Yeah, if Fernando, you count Jackson Merrill as a superstar, which was not in my February analysis, I don't think that would be in his mom's February analysis that Jackson Merrill would be a superstar here now. But yes, it's a remark. The beauty of this team is that they are where they are because players besides Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, and Fernando Tatis Jr. have contributed in vast ways. Right. That is, to me, if you tell me I got to pick one storyline, that's it.
Right. Yeah.
But also, since they've been good, Manny Machado has been good. Manny Machado got hot virtually the day Fernando Tatis Jr. was shut down.
Yep.
There are, pick a date going forward, and that goes back to June 1st before he got hot, actually hot in any fashion. Manny Machado's in the top 5 in virtually every category in the National League. Okay, obviously Shohei Ohtani, number one and everything. Jackson Merrill, depending on the date you pick, you know, go to June 8th, it's Jackson Merrill. Go to June 19th, it's Manny Machado. But I'm talking WRC plus, WAR, OPS, OPS plus, RBIs, home runs. Manny Machado is like number 2 most dates you could pick, like these arbitrary dates we pick in baseball. Since June 19th, Manny Machado, I don't want to say carried this team, not in the manner he did in 2020 or 22, the last 2 times they made the playoffs. But without a doubt, he's as close as it comes, maybe in the entire major leagues, to as he goes, so goes his team. And I've done the research. So pick whatever you want, whatever contribution Manny makes, single game, periods of game, the way his performance affects the Padres is greater than any other player in the major leagues.
Absolutely. And that's not to diminish, again, what happened in April and May and early June. You know, these are, you know, Matt Waldron carried them for a stretch.
Very good.
Donovan Solano carried them for a stretch. David Peralta was competent for a long period of time, keeping them in games. Kevin, you know that old Footprints in the Sand poem? I went to Catholic school. You know, there's only one set of footprints in the sand.
Oh, yeah, that's straight out of the canon in Catholic. Yeah, sure.
And there's only one set of footprints in May, and that was from where Matt Waldron was carrying them, right?
Yes, and what about Jurickson Profar? That's when Jurickson looks at Manny and says, "That's when I carried you." that's, yes, that, I mean, look, the media, the BBWAA members did their, I'm assuming John Matthew emailed you.
Yes, I have voted.
Votes for the Padres, the silly vote, right? Like goes in the back of the media guide, right? And I won't say how I voted. I won't say who I was talking to, but I was talking to someone who voted for Jurickson Profar. I know that there were Manny votes. I know there are Merrill votes. Wow. That's something, right? Like it's going to be split three ways. I would imagine there's not any more choices than that. I bet you Merrill wins. He's the popular approach, the popular vote. He also, there is merit to it. Break down the numbers, but it's
leads them in war. Yeah.
It's amazing that they would have, that you could, if you wanted to, fill an entire podcast, we could argue over which of those three guys was most valuable to the Padres. And look, that's why they got 87 wins. That's why they can get to 90 wins here for what, like the sixth time in franchise history, something like that. Right. It's yes, but Manny, he's remarkable. He is a pleasure to watch. And that's, you know, once again, always worried someone's tuning in for the first time. As someone who really has no skin in the game, except it's a lot better to cover a good team. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more fun. And I do what I do, you know, at the end of the day, for all the hassle, I don't get to complain because I get to watch baseball. And it's better to watch good baseball played by good players than what I was doing in 2018.
Yes, talking about which September call-ups might contribute. And yes, where's
go back and look at some of those stories that I wrote. And it was the future of Trey Wingenter and Eric Lauer. And, you know, and also legit like Andres Munoz, right? Like guys that have gone on to do something, guys that are out of the league, right? Like but that's what it was then. And now I'm sitting here with my boss and we're having a friendly debate about Jurickson Profar, Manny Machado, and Jackson Merrill. That is light years better.
Yes. Which one of these three all-stars is their MVP? And by the way, pitcher's the harder one. Pitcher of the year.
Great.
I mean, I sat there and I went, oh, this is easy. And then I spent a half hour looking at stats.
I love it.
Trying to come up with something. Right.
Well, that takes us to our topic, right? Like our last topic, right? Like the rotation. Yeah. So yeah, you are correct. I don't know who you could make the Michael King in terms of consistency. You could make Dylan Cease in terms of, well, there was the no hitter and the seven other games in which he went at least six innings and allowed no more than one run. His two periods of time where he was just unreal. You could go with the Waldron the first couple months of the season, or at least there was about a 2 month period. Wow.
You could go Suarez. I mean, if we're talking about
you could go Suarez
recency bias out of it, Robert Suarez was really darn good for a very long time.
And did things that contributed in a way that you could argue they wouldn't have won certain games without him.
Right. But let's talk about pitching here. You know, one of the pluses to clinching, if the Padres can clinch, is at some point they will get a chance to lay out their playoff pitching rotation. As we head into the weekend series here, it's Musgrove pitching tonight against Garrett Crochet, Martin Perez pitching against Chris Flexen on Saturday, and then Sean Burke against Yu Darvish on Sunday. Where do you think that they want this to fall in terms of a three-game playoff series? Who are the three guys, and in what order?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. They're in a good spot. Here's why. Because I would ask you the question, and I will be asking the question. What's more important, home field advantage or laying out your starters like you want them?
Right.
I'd have to think about it, and I could go a bunch of different ways. Here's the thing about the Padres, and that is the good thing about Yu Darvish coming around, about Joe Musgrove being strong, about Dylan Cease showing that he's maybe back on one of his hot streaks, about Michael King being the consistent guy he is. And you know what? I would argue, because it's hard to dismiss what Martin Perez has done. I don't put him – I put him a distant fifth, but they are 7-1. Is it 8-1? 7-1 in his starts, and he has a 2-something ERA, 2.67 or something in those starts. It's hard to dismiss him. So what I'm saying is, the good news is, I would be okay with almost whoever they start in the division series, in whatever order. You can argue Dylan Cease can set that tone game one if he's Dylan Cease. Okay, well, he could also, you know, he could also be really bummed after that. Joe Musgrove could set the tone, you know, especially if it's in New York, you know, game one. You can make arguments, but I would say they have got to be, and this is not, I have not looked at what everybody else has in this critical eye on this specific example. But I would argue better than any other team, maybe not the Phillies, but maybe the Phillies. I don't know that they go five deep right now in terms of how guys are pitching. But Padres are set up really well. Which one's more important to you, Ryan? Home field?
I think playing at home.
Pitchers.
I think playing at home is more important. And here's why. I don't think that there's a big difference between who you might consider their ace and who you might consider their three, right? I'm curious who the fourth guy is, right? Who's going to be on the outside looking in? Dare you sit Yu Darvish in a playoff series? Dare you sit Joe Musgrove in a playoff series? Really? I mean, man.
You don't sit Joe Musgrove, and I don't think you sit Yu Darvish. Though, that could be taken out of their hands if they go to the end, right?
Right.
Like what if – here's what I think they'll do. If you go on turn, you've got – I say they go, you think you do, and all of a sudden all these things pop into my head of why they won't. But – you go on turn, Michael King, who starts on Monday if they go on turn? Mm-hmm. So what I think they do is they go with Dylan Cease on Tuesday.
Okay.
And then he's available to come back Sunday. Or if you've already wrapped up everything you want to wrap up, Dylan Cease is your game one starter.
Right. Okay.
So you have him available for Sunday on regular rest if you need Sunday to clinch home field. Mm-hmm. So I think they start him Tuesday in LA.
Okay.
But you got the off day yesterday and you got the off day here that, hey, who you know, this you can do all sorts of things. But I think that that is what makes the most sense. And it is Michael King would be the normal Tuesday. I couldn't argue against putting Michael King Tuesday and having him available again for Sunday either. So to your point, yeah, does it really matter?
Well, I wonder too, you know, Michael King has come out of the bullpen in his career. It's where he started. In a way, does his familiarity with being a bullpen arm work against him here a little, right? Does he then become the guy who, if you're playing game three if you're playing a best of three series and your butt's on the line in the final game, is Michael King the guy who walks out of the bullpen in the fifth inning and then you worry about him maybe pitching in game three or four of the division series if you win, right?
That's a really good point. I'd say it's less likely that now that they've done what they've done with their bullpen, right? And they have that depth.
Right.
But this is the playoffs, man. Like, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And he could still be on the roster if they feel that they can, you know, do without that spot. And they could be like, all right, he's there for emergency and he could also be our game one or two starter in the division series.
In the division series.
You know, don't use him. And so it's going to be great. It really is. This is that'll be fun stuff for, well, it might not be till the podcast before the playoffs, because honestly, you could go into Arizona with everything still up in the air. I mean, presumably that's six games from now and they've wrapped up a spot by then. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't in any way think that the home field advantage is wrapped up by that, unless one of these teams goes on a real dip or somebody is 6-0 and all that. But I mean, even for that to happen, like it all comes down to, you can't even figure out what do the Diamondbacks need to do? What do the Padres need to do? Like it all comes down to that final series.
Yep.
Because and here's why the Diamondbacks and Padres have split their 10 games. So the winner of that series wins the season series. And so if they were to finish tied, then, you know,
right. Yeah. And then you're doing that
close that by that point.
I know it's crazy. Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of all of our episodes here. This is more of a personal question. Okay. Mm. As it stands right now, I am planning on being in Phoenix next weekend with, to meet a family member for Saturday's game. Will Saturday's game matter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Will it matter to the tune of like $95 a ticket matter?
Well, I do know how much you like a good baseball game. So I don't know how many people you'd be taking.
A lot.
But yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, you can watch a real nice game on TV. You know, no lines in the bathrooms, no Chase Field. But if you want to go see a team possibly clinch, that's a real good day to do it. I would think one of these teams, and look, the Padres have a two-game advantage. So let's just say, I would think the Padres are going to need at least a win in one of those games.
Right.
At least a win in one of those games to finish ahead of the Diamondbacks And presumably then, you know, I should say the Mets too, to finish ahead of the Mets, who seem to just, wow, whatever.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. The idea was to go because you would think that, let's just put it this way. Chase Field has never been exactly a tough place to get a ticket, at least not since 2001. So I figured, hey, go out there, check it out. Got some family out there who want to meet us. We were going to do that. And now I'm at the point where, man, I don't want to spend a ton of money for tickets if this thing is locked up Friday night. So.
Oh, well, wait till Saturday morning then. And you're gambling then though, right? Because then, yes. Right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Because I have already heard from a number of Padres fans, and there always are. Less this year as the Diamondbacks got a little more popular there among their home fans, but always a lot of Padres fans. And I've heard from a number of them that plan to go.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. It's, again, pretty easy, straight 5-hour drive. So there we go. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. Padres White Sox 3-game series starts Friday night at Petco Park. After that, Kevin, we get into the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. And then, assuming things work, the playoffs, which is crazy. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.